0301 or on the World Wide Web at PDUSK3@AOL.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is
power. You are listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Thank you, choir, for reminding us that there is no greater love. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, there you will find these words. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments from the subject, pain with a purpose. Pain with a purpose. There is a picture that I once saw that dramatically depicts and spells out in clear terms what the Christian life is called to be. This picture centers on a hill called Calvary. The sun is slowly descending behind the hills with the peak of its rays. You can leave that picture up. Still dazzling with brilliance. The shadows of darkness are gradually enveloping the whole scenery, so as to suggest that a great event is taking place. In the midst of this stirring and striking setting, there is a man nailed to a cross with a crown of thorns plaited on his brow. Inscribed on this painting are some words by William Penn that say, "No pain, no palm, no gall, no glory, no thorn, no throne, no cross, no crown." The artist of this picture has captured with a brush perhaps what Dietrich Bonhoeffer declared in words when he said, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." And what Jesus himself lays down as the primary intention of the Christian life is his closing beatitude. For throughout the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke as the introduction to his Sermon on the Mount, he gives us the characteristics of the persons who are part of God's kingdom. Jesus says that these persons are poor in spirit. They mourn. They are meek. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. And because they are filled, they are merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers, with the end result that they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus closed these beneficent beatitudes by saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." My brothers and sisters, Christians are those whose lives are encumbered by suffering. They are people who endure pain with a purpose. In this closing beatitude, which serves as a basis for our sharing together, it is clarion clear that if we put into practice and follow Christ both in word and in deed, we shall experience suffering. However, this is not to encourage us to become sadistic in our thinking. In other words, to become like those who get morbid satisfaction out of pain, just loving pain for the sake of pain. Like those who have a martyr complex, who go out of their way to be unpopular and suffer because they feel that in some kind of way it makes them morally superior and proves that they are Christians. Christians are not those who go out seeking for pain. Rather, they are those who receive pain because we endeavor to put righteousness into perpetual motion. We do not seek for pain, but because we practice and adhere to the teachings of Christ, pain has a way of finding us. Can I get a witness this morning? And with this understanding in mind, it is important for us not to try to get around, avoid, or escape pain. When I was younger in my spiritual growth, I recall praying a stupid prayer. I remember asking the Lord one day, amen, to keep me from suffering. That was a stupid prayer because there is no way to elude suffering if you're gonna follow Jesus. I know that now, but the problem I had then was that I was caught up in what is called the Peter syndrome. Amen. You Bible readers will recall the episode at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus raised the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You remember what Peter said? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then the Bible says that Jesus went on to explain to them how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. And the Bible says Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. The word rebuke in the Greek carries the connotation of literally shaking somebody. And so it was as if Peter was trying to shake some sense into Jesus. Peter's actions were actually saying to Jesus, Jesus, you don't have to go to Jerusalem and suffer. We know they don't like you in Jerusalem, and y'all know that the first law of life is self-preservation. Amen. But Jesus responded by saying, get behind me. Jesus was saying, get behind me, Peter, because my mission calls for suffering. Get behind me, Peter, because pain is an integral part of the kingdom building program. Get behind me, Peter, because pain is the way of discipleship. And so, my brothers and sisters, you need to know and understand that Christianity is not some nice Sunday event that just happens once a week. Jesus has not called us to pick up a bouquet of flowers and enclose ourselves in an environment of enjoyment and ease. Our lot, my brothers and sisters, as Christians, is lined and lit with hardships. We've got to go through some hard trials. We've got to be talked about and lied on. We've got to deal with persecution and pain. We can't get around it. We may get tired and weary, as all of us sometimes do. But I've come by to remind you what the Lord said. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so you need to understand that we are people who endure pain, but I like this, with a purpose. Amen. Careful notice of this closing beatitude reveals that we're not being buffeted on every side for nothing. Oh, come on, my sister. You're not being hated on for nothing. Amen. You're not being mistreated and going through pain and trials and troubles for nothing. Can I get a witness here today? Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And then he goes on to say that a servant is not greater than his master if they persecuted me. If I had to go through some stuff, you may as well get ready and know that you've got to go through some stuff too. But I want to share with you this morning two or three things about amen, what we receive, amen, because of the pain we have to deal with. And I want to share with you two or three reasons why we have to go through pain and deal with hardship and deal with suffering because of righteousness. The first reason I give you this morning is that this righteousness is a righteousness that causes folk to see themselves as they are, in light of what God would have them to be. In his witness to Nicodemus, you Bible readers will remember where Jesus said, "This is the condemnation." In other words, this is what they have against me. He says that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. One of the main reasons why Christians sometimes receive pain is that they have revealed, uncovered, and manifested somebody else's evil deeds. They've caused somebody to see themselves as they are in light of what God would have them to be. Every child of God has been commissioned to be a little light. And I like it. I like what Jesus said. He said, "Let your light so shine." So you got to be careful of the folk that's making their light shine. I'm talking about folk who put on a show and put on a front and try to act super holy and super religious. But if you know the Lord and if he lives in your heart, you ain't got to make it shine. Come on, baby. You know you can just let it shine. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and not glorify you, but glorify the Father who is in heaven." You see, one reason we got to go through some pain, my brothers and sisters, is because our goodness causes others to see how bad they are. Did you know that some people don't like you because they can't be you? Do I have a witness today? What's even more frustrating is when they can't even be like you. Some folk, amen, want to be you, but they realize they can't be you, so then they try to be like you, and they get really angry and really frustrated when they can't even be like you. They can't dress like you. They can't drive like you. They can't travel like you, and they get so angry that all they resolve to do is hate on you. I like that t-shirt. The t-shirt, I saw it in the mall the other day. T-shirt said, "Haters gonna hate." Do I have any witnesses here? Anybody, amen, have had to deal with some haters? Haters gonna hate. But Jesus says people will hate you when you try to live right. When you make up in your mind, "For Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die." Amen. Folk will hate on you. Young people, when you say no to the marijuana, when you say no to the drugs and the alcohol, there, some of your peers are gonna hate on you, because your goodness reminds them of how bad they are. Have you not had some friends that you used to hang around? Come on, before you got saved, before you quit clubbing and all the other stuff, amen, some friends that you used to hang out with, but now that you're in church and you're in church on Sunday and you're at Bible study, amen, those friends don't want to be bothered with you. As a matter of fact, when you come around, it causes them to feel uncomfortable. Do I have a witness today? Back in my time, they used to say you cramped their style. The next time you call, they found a convenient way to keep you out of their company. Do you know why? The light was disturbing them. Oh my, there have been times in my preaching when I've had somebody come to me after church and say, "Bro, Pastor, it just seems like you were talking to me." The reason is that the light of God's word causes us to see ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I always want a gospel that will cause me to see myself, because unless I can see myself, I cannot come to myself. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I've had to come to myself and realize that I wasn't so holy as I thought I was holy. I had to come to myself and realize that though I'm clothed with the gospel of Christ, I still have some cleaning up to do. I know some of you are busy minding other folks' business, but somebody said you ought to spend 6 months minding your own business and 6 months leaving other folks' business alone. When you make up in your mind that I'm going to try to live right. And I want to encourage y'all to go see Tyler Perry's movie, Temptation. If you haven't seen it yet, especially you married folk, you need to go. Amen. That's your assignment. I'm giving you a go see Tyler Perry's movie. And if you don't have money to see it, come see me, and I'll make sure you get in there. Amen. To see that movie, Temptation. Don't lie. Don't lie. Because if you lie to me, I'm going to get the bootleg for you. But without disclosing too much about the movie, I say again that some people despise your goodness so much until they're not comfortable until you're in the same boat they're in. That's why I tell married women, amen, who got some girlfriends that ain't married, telling them what they wouldn't take, what they wouldn't put up with. Baby, I wouldn't put up, amen, and then you wonder why they ain't got nobody. And they're not going to be comfortable till you're in the same boat they're in. You better talk to the Lord about it. Can I get a witness here today? Young people, don't be fooled by so-called friends who try to make you think, amen, they want you with them and around them because they like you. Some of them will not rest until you are as much a weed head as they are. Some of them won't be happy until you are as much a pill head or bottle head as they are. Young ladies, watch these other girls, amen, who try to make you think that unless you're sleeping with this boy and that boy, amen, you're not going to be popular. I come by to tell you that not all popularity is popular. You might just end up being a popular slut or a popular hoochie mama, as we used to say. You better learn to have some dignity about yourself. You better learn how to let your light so shine before men that they see some good in you and say, I want to find the God that she's serving. So that's the first reason, amen, folk will hate on you and you'll get some pain is because your goodness makes some folk realize just how messed up they are. Oh my, you know how you used to cuss and all your friends could cuss. Y'all would compete and compete, amen, to see who could out-cuss the next person. But when you stop cussing, your cussing friends got uncomfortable around you. Oh, y'all don't want to say, let me find your role. Let me find you. You know when you used to drink. You know when you used to drink for breakfast and drink for lunch and drink to go to bed. All your friends were drinking. But when you stopped drinking, those folk didn't want to have nothing. Oh, y'all, I didn't find your role. You know when you used to puff, puff. Amen. You know when you used to smoke, hit a little weed. Amen. But when you stop messing with the weed, there are some friends that didn't want to have nothing to do with you anymore because your goodness showed them how messed up they are. But I thank God today. I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not even everything I want to be. But can I tell you one thing? I'm not what I used to be. I'm getting better. I'm getting gooder. Excuse my English. But if you let God work on you, let him have his way in your life, you'll be able to say, things I used to do, I don't do as much. Can I get a witness here today? So some persecution that we will have to endure is because our goodness lets some other folks see, amen, how much work they need to do. But then the second major aspect of the Lord's righteousness that caused him to be persecuted and which will cause us to receive some pain is a righteousness which upsets the status quo. It works as a change agent in the midst of the social illnesses of society. What got Jesus in trouble was that he went about doing good for other folk. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. You remember Jesus went to the synagogue one day. There was a man there with a withered hand. And they were complaining because it was the Sabbath day. But Jesus refused to leave the man in that condition. He thought it more important to restore him to good health. Matthew says that the Pharisees went out and held a council against Jesus. They had a meeting on Jesus. How they might
destroy him. You remember, you Bible readers, remember it was Jesus who went into the temple, turned over the tables, drove out the money changers because they were misusing and misrepresenting his father's house. And Luke says the chief priests, the scribes, and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Do you know why? It's because Jesus was a social activist. When he saw somebody hurting, he tried to lift them. When he saw people's lives being perverted by unrighteous acts, he refused to turn his head. His righteousness upset the status quo and worked as a change agent in the midst of the social illnesses of society. And y'all, this got Jesus in trouble. Amen. For our society still crowns its destroyers and crucifies its deliverers. Our society is still like the crowd. You remember the crowd when blind Bartimaeus said, I just want to, amen, meet Jesus. And he was calling Jesus out loud. And the folks said, tell him to shut up. Tell him to hold his peace. Amen. We don't have all that noise around here. Y'all remember that, don't you? As long as Christians sit back in the walls of the church and we don't reach out and try to help our communities, try to save our young men, try to save our young girls, folk ain't got a problem with us. But when the church of God stands up and says, we're not going to have drug dealers hanging out on our streets, corrupting our children. We're not going to let, amen, crime come in here and mess up our neighborhood. When the church of God stands up and says God has been too good to us for us to sit back and let folk in Washington talk about they don't need no health care. Why in the world would a Christian have a problem with everybody having access to affordable health care? Why in the world would Christians have a problem with children getting food, even if it's food stamps? Why in the world would Christians have a problem with the president that's trying to pass legislation so we can all get some bread, so we can all get a steak every now and then? I come by to tell you that when you stand up for right, when you try to help somebody, you're gonna develop some enemies. Can I get a witness today? Well, if you don't want to be a witness, I've got a witness who will tell you that when you try to help somebody, your haters will rise up against you. When you try to do good for society, your haters will try to destroy you. Come here, Martin Luther King Jr. Why did they take your life? Because Dr. King said, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can show some sinner that he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. You ought to thank God today that you're on the Lord's side. Let your haters hate. Let them talk about you. Let them lie on you. Oh, but then there's one more thing I want to leave with you. Not only will people hate you and persecute you because your goodness highlights their evil, not only will people hate on you and persecute you because when you try to do good for society, it upsets the status quo. But there's one more thing I want to tell you. People will hate you when you're more passionate about heaven than you are about here. Now, don't get me wrong. The world is a wonderful place. Life affords us an opportunity to establish some wonderful relationships, to enjoy some scenic and majestic places, to acquire some great and awesome possessions. But can I tell you something? All of that is just temporary. Every car you drive is just temporary. Every house you build is just temporary. Every relationship you get in, oh, some of y'all know, they are just temporary. There are some folk that will persecute you because you're not more interested than in money than you are in pleasing God. There's some folk that will hate on you because you're more interested in church on Sunday than laying in the bed at home. There are some folk, even in the church house, who will hate on you because you gotta praise. You gotta pray. They want you to shut up. They want you to sit down and hold your peace. But somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, let my haters hate, but I gotta pray, I gotta praise, I gotta praise, and I gotta let it out. Ain't he all right? There are some people who will hate on you because you're more concerned about heaven than you are about here. I need to tell you something. There are three things that God fills. God fills the earth with his blessings. He fills heaven with his glory. But there's one other thing. He fills hell with his wrath. And I come by to tell you, you've got a choice. Do you want to stay here? Can't stay here. You gonna leave here, no matter what you think about it. Do you want to go to heaven and live with God? Thank you, Jesus. Or do you want to go to hell and be in God's wrath? I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so glad. I said I'm so glad that Jesus said, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. I look at Jesus dying on the cross. Is there anybody here? You're glad he died? He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died, I tell you, until the grave gave up their dead. They buried him. You can take it down now. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And the Bible says he hung around here for a little while, but then he got on a cloud. He went on to heaven. And the Bible says that right now he's seated at the right hand of his daddy. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't mind being persecuted. I don't mind a little pain. I don't mind being talked about. I don't mind being lied on. As long as one of these days I get to go back with my Lord and with my Savior. If you love him, tell him thank you. If you know him, get on your feet. Give him praise. Give him praise. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you for making a way out of no way. Tell him thank you.
The good news is that in spite of the pain we face in this life, Jesus said it serves a purpose. I don't know about y'all, but some of the pain that I've been through has made me a better person. Thank you, Marvin Sapp. Amen. He said, I'm better. I'm wiser. I'm stronger. Come on, give God a hand of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Our ministers are coming.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.